Be working in the book of Luke, if you can turn to the 22nd chapter. I've been working with that theme on prayer, and I wanted to shift gears a little bit tonight, partly because we've been focusing on what we should do and how we should handle prayer and the way we should move forward, and I wanted to reverse it tonight because I think no matter how well we do or whatever we're doing, we have this sense of sometimes inadequacy. And I was listening to a guy in the preach, and he said, you know, we forget sometimes that God doesn't need us. He is totally self-sufficient in himself, totally complete in himself, and he doesn't need us. He's not lucky to have us. And he just kind of worked that theme, trying to help us understand, because sometimes we go, wow, you're so lucky to have me, God, that I follow you and that I believe in you. And we create a kind of a God that has to beg, oh, please come follow me, please, you know. And he just worked that theme quite a bit. And I really appreciated it because it kind of challenged, my thinking and everything else like that. So I wanted to reverse a little bit and help you understand how precious you are to God. And so I'm reversing it tonight by having and examining a few passages where God is the intercessor, where Jesus intercedes for you. Sometimes we forget that there is grace extended to us totally separate from anything that we have done, accomplished, or behaved in any way. And so I wanted you to start with me, and we're in Luke 22, starting at verse 31. Luke 22. Starting at verse 31. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times, or you will deny three times that you know me. Now, I like the setting because it creates the reality and the arrogance of us. Peter represents us a little bit. You know, I know, Lord, I'm gung-ho. I will really stick with you. You can count on me, God, and that kind of stuff. Peter, I've shared with you before, it's so fascinating to me that Peter is so arrogant. He looks at the God of the universe, the creator of all things, and he says, Lord, you got it wrong. It's too bad you're not as smart as I am, because if you were as smart as I am, you would know that I would never leave you nor forsake you. I would never do what everybody else does. And Jesus, in such tenderness, such love, totally missed on Peter's part at this point, totally missed, goes, do you understand what I just said to you? Satan wants to sift you. The concept of sifting, you have to try and understand. You and I are the ones, the little stones rub back and forth until we get through the sieve. Satan, this word in the Greek, he wants to try you, press on you, crunch you through the screen. This is not a pleasant, let's just sift some sand together, okay? Or sift flour or something like that. This is really, Satan has demanded to put you through the ringer, we would say, in our kind of our language or something like that. And so into this setting, we have Peter responding with an arrogance that just implies, I don't need you, Lord. You wasted your time praying for me. I will do just fine without you. You don't understand me as well as I understand me. And so as I thought about that and the very nature of what God does for us in interceding, having Christ intercede for Peter, this is a characteristic that's actually defined in Scripture in several places. This is this sense of God loving me so much that he steps in the gap when I'm asking the wrong thing, when I'm walking down the wrong path, when I don't even get what I'm supposed to pray for. We've got these verses that kind of just begin to jump out at you, and you begin to understand the process, okay? Jesus, a little later on, which is in the week before the crucifixion, this section I took for you tonight, a little later on in the Gospel of John, says this, as Jesus is praying to the Father, "My prayer, Father, is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." This is an intercession, a speaking of God to God. This is a statement of how God interacts with God for you and I. This is a reflection of the treasure that he views us to be, okay? And he says, don't remove them. I don't want them out of the world. I just want them protected so that when they're walking through the world, they will be able to stand. Now, I've been using examples where we start talking about how we have to stand and all the responsibility comes, in one sense, gets laid back on us in some level of accountability. Though what I wanted to focus on, like I said, is that here is Christ praying for us, which are the people who will come by the message that the disciples will bring. And in that message that they will bring, we will be people. And he says, I want them preserved. I want them to make it. What I want you to understand is that when you feel like there's nothing around you, when you feel like you have just been beaten down and you don't know which end is up, that there is this covering, this blessing, this interaction of the Godhead working in this communication with us. Another favorite one that I think you've probably heard of before comes out of Matthew, and it points out this. It says this, "If you love me, you will obey me," just a little before this section in the book of John, "and obey what I command," and this next verse is in chapter John 14, verse 16, "and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." Here's Jesus' prayer for me again. This reaction of how come God invests himself the way he does in me. In other words, even if I'm not smart enough, disciplined enough, or even open enough, here's God speaking over his disciples, speaking into our world, that he is asking the Holy Spirit to come and be presented in each of us, to invest himself in each of us, as it points out there. And it says, "The Spirit of Truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans." The intent of God, you know, when you understand in terms of this intercession, this working that's always taking place, the intent of God is saying, I am looking out for you a little bit like parents praying. One of the things I've shared with you before is my parents would invite us over sometimes for Saturday morning breakfast, and we'd have sweet rolls or hard rolls or something like that, and we would sit around, drink a cup of coffee, and just enjoy each other's company. And I came over kind of unannounced one day. It was in the summer, and the back door was open, and so this was just the screen. And I came just about ready to walk in, and I heard Mom and Dad praying for me and for our family. And it was this moment where you are reminded that the blessings in your life, undeserved, are being prayed for you by people that care about you, who are investing themselves in you. In other words, I was so blessed by that. There's tears coming to my eyes as I think about that moment. But because, you know, they're praying out loud for one another's sake, and they're praying this blessing, this grace, this mercy over me, over the family, and over the extended family. And I'm just going, wow, I'm an old guy, and Mom and Dad are praying for me yet. And I go, that message, that moment is what I want to see if I can give you, in the sense of God looks at you and he says, do you know I pray over you? Do you know I'm glad when you pray to me? That's to your advantage. But do you know We intercede with one another for you. Do you understand how we feel toward you? If your earthly mother and father, with all the inconsistencies that earthly families, parents, and individuals have, can figure out how precious you are to them, how much they want your life blessed, if they can take the time out of a morning to actually pray together in a level of harmony and intimacy and specialness, he goes, can you understand? That's what I feel toward you. I want you to understand that is this intercession that takes place between the Lord, the Son, and the Spirit, all of these three interacting with one another. There's this beautiful passage that comes out of Matthew that reminds us there is such an intimacy with God, and it says this. This comes out of Matthew 6, verse 7. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. You understand? The process of prayer on our side, okay, is already God is working diligently to bring into my life knowing what I need. The truth is, I sometimes don't even know what to ask for. I get myself in a situation, maybe you do too, where you're just not sure what do I say. Am I supposed to pray this way, that way? Am I supposed to ask God for this thing or that blessing, however you want to ask it? And instead, the blessing here comes, God already knows. There is already this interaction between in the Godhead toward me. It's like, take a moment and walk up on the screen door of the Trinity. And the Son turns to the Father and says, Father, that Harmon down there, he needs help. You see that stuff in his heart? He doesn't even know what's going wrong right now. I want you to just bless him. Let's pour out a superabundance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit steps in and he intercedes for me too. He said, I really want to do this in his life. And this interaction is taking place. This reaction of God looking upon the needs of you and I and all the different things that are associated with it. Passage out of Romans 8 says the same thing, this one with the Holy Spirit. For Romans 8, 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray. But the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with the will of God. You understand, it would be incomplete of me to simply identify prayer as this one-sided communication, me communing and communicating with God, without understanding that there is this blessing of God interacting within the Trinity for my benefit. Because the truth is, how in the world did I manage to make it this far? How many accidents have you managed to avoid? How many situations that could have taken your life in some horrible direction didn't take you there? How many times have you, I look at all the stupid things that I've done, all the foolish things I did in my youth or last week or wherever I have to go back to, and I go, and God continues to bring blessing into my life. And the answer comes back because there is this intimacy, this intercession that's taking place on behalf of me and on behalf of you. It's true, you won't know what to pray. It's true, you will sometimes be as arrogant as Peter. It's true, sometimes you'll be absolutely lost and belittled and depressed and angry and frustrated. It's true that all the characteristics that we read about in terms of every one of these people, you have to understand, will happen to all of us at various points in time. Sometimes in the middle of a difficult situation, we just want to throw our hands up in disgust or guilt or shame or embarrassment or just surrender. I can't take anymore. I just want to die. That kind of emotion somewhere along the line. And God whispers to you, I have prayed for you, Peter. Satan's going to sift you, but I've prayed for you. And you have to hear the tenderness and the love that God expresses when he says that to you and me. This is a commitment of God for the saints. the Spirit himself, who I have to ask for, who empowers me to pray in the first place, has the power to intercede with groans so deep that you can't even express them in words. There have only been a few times in my life when I actually groaned. Have you ever groaned where you don't have any ability to put it into words? It just comes from the deepest part of who you are, and it's just it's somewhere between a moan and a cry and a weeping and I said, wow, Lord, I've never felt this deep, this much pain, this much in that situation. And as I groaned that out, I remember it not for the sake of bringing it up like big deal, but for the sake of the Holy Spirit going, I enter into this battle with you. I enter into your most miserable moment, your greatest fear, your deepest insecurity, your deepest shame. I groan with you. I enter it. The words are so deep, I couldn't even put them into your head. They would sound shallow. If it was, Jesus, please help me, it would sound like you're talking just on the surface with a sprinkle of rain, when instead there's this flood of pain, emotion, and feeling that God emotes up as he groans for us. There is a love before all eternity where he looks at me and he groans for my salvation. There is a love where he groans to bring me through this time of difficulty. There is this work where Christ is interceding before I was ever born for the things that were going to be happening in my life so Satan could not destroy me for the 100 ways that I've given him or the 10,000 ways I've given him growing up. And instead, he wants us to hear these words. They're repeated over and over and over again. There's this beautiful passage way back, and I think it's Exodus near the end. I can't remember the verse or chapter. I want to say 30, 38. Moses is groaning and interceding for the people. And the people had just sacrificed to the golden calf. And it was just a horrible situation. God sends Moses down. He grinds the calf up. He spreads it across the water. He's just, angry at Aaron. He's angry at the people. I think over 3,000 people are killed as a result of the wickedness of what the people did during the worship of the golden calf. And God is back meeting with the Lord. Or excuse me, Moses is back meeting with the Lord. And Moses is dealing with God. And there's this beautiful little section where Moses gets to a point and he's praying for the people and he's praying for God. And he says this, he said, God, don't do it for us. Do it for your name's sake. Do it for your name's sake. Isn't that a fascinating way that Moses brings it up? Do this because of who you are, God. Do this so that your name remains strong. Do this so that we don't make you look worse or bad. And God, allowing this intercession to take place, blesses Moses in this process. There's this kind of a little bit of a reversal. And then Moses asks this one more question. He says, God, I want to see your glory. I just need to see your glory. And I think what Moses was asking for, not only did he see him face to face, you understand there's this intimacy between God and Moses, but there is this miracle when he wants to say, Lord, how do you love us like this? I just want to absorb all of the glory of you into my life. And I go, when you understand, I can't put it in words, what I felt when mom and dad were interceding for me, their up and down son and all the things I've done right and wrong, there is this glorious, unbelievable appreciation for who they were in my life. Moses is getting to that point where he cries out, Lord, I need to see your glory. And he says that because he wants that one last little touch of intimate assurance of the God of all creation intercedes for me, is working diligently to speak to my heart and enter my life. So within the framework of Simon, Simon, you know how the story ends. Simon finally betrays Christ or denies Christ. Jesus was right. But you also know the heart of Jesus praying for Simon before he even knew what he needed, in words that Simon didn't even understand, in words he would have disagreed with vehemently at the time Jesus would have been praying them, grown so deep that Simon would have never got it. Jesus understood the tears that Simon was going to cry, the shame he was going to feel, the words say in Scripture, and after Simon had denied Jesus, Peter had denied Jesus the last time, he looked up and he looked right into the face of Jesus, and he went out and he wept. The word is bitterly, bitterly. And here you hear the message, but I have groaned, I have wept with you, Peter. I know what you needed before you even knew you were going to need it. And so you see the tenderness of God right from this text, right for Simon, an intimacy of Christ with God, with Simon Peter that carries him. And I go, that's where your trust lies. Your trust is not relying on the quality of prayer you're delivering God. That your trust is not any improvements you've made. Your trust is that God is sitting there on the other side of the screen door praying for you, seeing things that you can't even see. You don't even know what tonight's going to bring. The Father is already interceding and praying for you, strength, already giving to you the things you need. Pray with me if you would. Lord Jesus, I remember the song, Lord, what have I ever done to deserve even one of the kindnesses you've shared or given to me? And that reality has got to just settle on us, not with shame, but with quietness, with reverence, with awe, that the God of all creation loves us, that you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, intercede with one another and interact with one another with such a tenderness and a grace. And you speak our names. You know us intimately, and your lips have our names on them. And you're praying for your children. You're praying for people that are sometimes stubborn and boldly arrogant and foolish and just fearful of life sometimes. And still you speak and intercede for them, Jesus. I love you so much, Lord, that salvation is your gift, that the work of the Spirit is always new, that you see and understand me better than I'll ever see or know myself. And then in the middle of it, Lord, you assure me that you are interceding for me. Lord Jesus, tonight we pray for our brothers and sisters sitting here, for those, Lord, in all kinds of different places dealing with all kinds of different things, for the men and women who keep us safe, for the privilege of living in the land one more day of freedom, for the opportunity to drive home in a car that may work, in a house where the furnace may keep the building warm, and all the other things we just take for granted. Lord Jesus, how good you are. Teach us to live in greater thanksgiving each day. Bless our loved ones, Lord, who are sick. Be with those who are hurting. Minister, Lord, to our kids. Draw them close to you and help them to understand that you intercede for them as a parent loving a kid intercedes, way beyond anything we can possibly know or understand. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. We join together in the closing song. Let's rise for it. Here we go.
We're going to sing a different song. We're going to sing the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.
All the time. Amen.